Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered, the podcast made by the athlete for the fans. Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Well, hello, hello again, everybody, and welcome in to another episode of Athletes Unfiltered. We are officially halfway through season two. This is episode five. As always, I am one of your hosts, Jeff Ekstrom, and alongside with me is Adrian Martinez. Adrian, how's it going? Halfway through season five, or season
yeah,
two?
going good. You know, we just finished up spring ball. So feel good about that. Feel good about where things are headed that way. Excited for our guest today.
Yeah, you know, that guest is Stanley Morgan, former Nebraska wide receiver and current Cincinnati Bengal. He's fun. Stanley's fun, had a lot of cool stories in his experience in the NFL because he has the privilege a little bit of playing with such a really good team, and he's a part of that as well.
Yeah, you know, and what's really cool for him is he has had a journey to get to this point. He, you know, obviously I played with him for 1 year at Nebraska, and he was arguably, you know, the best receiver that I got the chance to play with, a guy who really went up and got the ball. And I feel like he proved himself in college. And despite that, he went undrafted. And again, despite being undrafted, he found a way to make a roster and then after that, even get a contract extension after this last season. So he's grinded to get where he's at. I know he's from New Orleans, and he's proud to be where he's at now. So pumped for you guys to hear from him. And, you know, he's a Husker legend.
A well-rewarded contract extension. He was with the organization a couple of not-so-great years and helps him turn it around into what would be a runner-up performance playing in the Super Bowl this last season. Great stuff from Stanley. You'll hear from him in just a little bit. But first, Adrian, talk about a little bit about spring football. I mean, little different than what Nebraska was or is in doing stuff for spring football. But I mean, you're back to throwing again and things are going well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we didn't have a spring game. We had a scrimmage and it was a closed practice, which honestly for me, that was okay. You know, I was just happy to be out there playing again. You know, I don't think there's a place in the country that replicates exactly what Nebraska does as far as the spring game. And it was kind of great to see from afar, a great experience to watch my buddies go through, and something that looked like a lot of fun. In the meantime, I was going through my first practice, you know, finally able to actually participate in everything. And I feel great. You know, it's good to be back doing what I love to do. And, you know, it's still a process. You know, there's still some of those growing pains that come from getting back from a surgery, but all in all, I feel great about where I'm at and the offense, the team. We're really coming along well.
No, I mean, I think probably at this point, a few months in, this is probably where you're starting to settle in to everything at K-State. Would you say you feel that way?
Absolutely. You know, there's a stretch where the guys are getting to know me and I'm getting to know them. And I feel like we've gotten over that hump and I'm just one of the guys who's in it for the long run. So, definitely feel good about that as well. And just the amount of work we've already put in together and that relationship, those relationships will continue to grow.
Good. Awesome. Great to hear that. And Adrian, aside from spring football, we also have the NBA playoffs that just began this past weekend with the playing games and now officially into the postseason. And I don't know if I know exactly what your team is in the NBA.
Well, my team is LeBron James.
Nice.
Okay. I am a LeBron James guy. So if he were to decide to go play for, I don't even know, Portland, I'd be a Portland Trailblazers fan. You know, I have to own up to what I am. That's what I am.
No, I am the exact same way. And some people don't like it. And I'm like, I don't care. I like LeBron. Yeah.
That's our generation. It's our generation.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, we did have some entertaining playoff games the other day. Celtics won by one. The Bucks took game one from the Bucks. Suns are up 1-0. Let's talk a little bit about it and like predictions for this postseason. Who do you got, Adrian?
Yeah, well, I really think this could be the year that the Suns take that next step. You know, last year they reached the finals. It was a COVID year, right? Or was it not? It was sort of a COVID year, not really, I guess. The year before was COVID year with the Lakers. But either way, they reached the finals, lost to the Bucks and Giannis. I think this could be the year for them. They look even better than they did the year before. Devin Booker's coming along and Chris Paul, I think, can finally get over the hump. From the East, it looks pretty open to me. You know, I'm kind of a little invested in the Sixers, and I hope James Harden and Joel Embiid can make it happen. I think that'd be a pretty entertaining final. And the Nets are still a wild card. I know they lost game one to Boston. There's a lot of people out there rooting for the Celtics to get over the hump themselves. But I'm not sure if that's going to happen. You know, the Nets win operating the way they can, and maybe Ben Simmons comes back. You don't know. You know, we don't know how it'll shape up, but I would say my picks are the Sixers and the Suns to reach it, and ultimately for the Suns to win.
There you go. I like the Suns. I think they're just by and far the best team in the NBA this year. And I like their road to the finals. I mean, they're going to get in Dallas or Utah in the second round. And I think they match up well there. And then, I mean, technically Minnesota leads Memphis, who's the 2 seed. That'll be interesting to see who comes out on the other side of that bracket in the West between Golden State, Denver, Memphis, and Minnesota.
I agree.
Yeah, I really don't know who could come out of that. But I think Phoenix wins regardless, goes to the finals. Out of the East, I don't know. Yeah, like you said, it's really, really open. I may be lame, but I'm going with the Bucks. I'm going with the Suns, Bucks, repeat from last year, and I'm saying the Suns do it. They beat the Bucks. They avenge it.
And that would be pretty sweet, you know. That'd be a storyline in and of itself, and another opportunity for Giannis to show he deserves to be in this conversation of, you know, either being the best player or ultimately down the road maybe in that conversation to be one of the greats. You know, he won an MVP, he's won a NBA title. Now, can he get back there again?
I want a Nets Bucks second round.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
The Nets have a gauntlet to get to the show, but you know, we'll see. They got all the pieces. Kyrie Irving flipping off fans in the audience. I mean, who knows? They have two guys who are scoring machines. So to be determined.
Yeah, most certainly. And I mean, the Suns are likable. I mean, they got Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Ayton's really good. I mean, I don't know if you can really hate the Suns because there's nothing really hateable about them.
And shoot, I think the Grizzlies are really likable as well. Yeah. And they're a really underrated 2 seed. They're seen as being maybe too young to make a run. But I hope they can get their stuff together and you know, get over that hump of losing to Minnesota game one, which was a shock. But the next round, if they have to play Golden State, I don't know if I can see them getting past them. But if they do, that would be a great story. And I'd love to see Ja Morant, you know, continue to build his legacy.
I think it's a win-win regardless who comes out of that between Memphis and Minnesota. Because obviously Memphis is fun. They got Ja. But you also got Anthony Edwards there in Minnesota.
Yeah. They're a young team and they have a lot of talent as well. Yeah. Probably going to be some Minnesota people listening to this podcast. And there were a lot of Minnesota people that went to Nebraska. Between the Vikings and the T-Wolves, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to win. I'm just going to be honest about it. I don't want them to win. I didn't like the Gophers, Minnesota Gophers. I don't like Minnesota, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But on a serious note, I hope the Grizzlies beat the Wolves, T-Wolves.
Well, the good thing about all the other Minnesota sports teams is that PJ Fleck is not on the sidelines for them coaching those teams and wearing those flamboyant outfits.
You know, I missed it. My headphones again.
Okay.
This is brutal. So maybe it wasn't meant to be. Well, yeah. I'll just find out what you said when I listen to it.
Yeah, we'll keep it at that. And I think that's a perfect way to end this intro for episode 5 of season 2 of Athletes Unfiltered. We decided to welcome in Stanley Morgan, former Nebraska wide receiver, current Cincinnati Bengal, and broken a lot of records at Nebraska. Quite a glorious guest we have with us today. Stanley, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Stanley, I mean, you and Adrian know each other quite well, of course, just overlapping 1 year. But I mean, I think I kind of want to kick things off by just asking, how did you two meet and develop the chemistry you guys did right away? I want to hear the story.
Well, what'd you say, man? I want to say when you came on campus, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget. I was walking down the hall, like in the academic building type area. And this man saw me. He's like, "You're walking like with your head held high. Like you must have confidence." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I feel like I got confidence, you know." He's like, "I like that. Keep doing that." I was like, "All right, bet." You know, so from the moment I met him, you know, Stan did a great job of like infusing people with confidence, you know, whether it's receivers or as quarterbacks, you know. And I think you knew I had a long road ahead of me, but right away, I mean, Stan, when I first saw him, I was like, this is the best receiver I've ever seen.
Man, I can say the same about you, bro. I mean, you always walk with your head held high, man. And I respect that about you as a young cat. You know what I'm saying? You came in there ready. You know what I'm saying? You came in there ready to go. Came in there ready to lead the team. You know what I'm saying? Ready to lead the offense. So I had no choice but to respect that, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
And Stanley, what's interesting too about it is that obviously you were a senior and Adrian's a freshman coming in, and you've been through a lot of quarterbacks. At that point, Adrian was your third quarterback. Kind of what was the difference between those past quarterbacks you had and then having Adrian your senior year? I kind of want to hear the comparison considering that you went through three different quarterbacks at your time in Nebraska.
I mean, they all showed me different things. I mean, I had Tommy, I was young. So, you know, I was in the same shoes as Adrian. I got, you know, when he got there and I was a senior. So, I was real young, playing behind some guys. So, I mean, he kind of taught me a lot, you know what I'm saying, showed me the way, you know what I'm saying. He kind of, you know, was the big brother I needed. And then when Tanner Lee got there, I mean, we already kind of knew each other from New Orleans. So we had a chemistry. We played against each other in high school. I mean, I knew how he was. He was more like of a, you know, he just was a chill person, you know, off the field. He always wanted to study and stuff like that. So he gave me that just going about my day going about my receiver play as an adult, you know, just trying to put everything I can into my craft. And then when Adrian came, he brought that, you know, that hip with me, you know, he made me feel like a young receiver again. So, and I felt old around those cats because I didn't really, then it was, I was, you know, a little bit older. So he just brought that swag in me, you know, he helped me grow as a receiver as well. You know what I'm saying? Just being there with me.
Yeah, and I mean, Stanley, obviously your senior year breaking all of those kinds of records. I mean, what went right that senior year? Obviously clicking with Adrian and just adding on top of the records you already broke and then breaking some of your own. What went right that senior year?
I feel like the record didn't show. I think everything was great there. I mean, we practiced well. We all gelled as a team. I felt like, you know, the record didn't really show, but I mean, that was a great season for me. I had a real good time that season, and it didn't really show because we didn't win, but I learned a lot that season, especially with Troy being there and getting a new coaching staff, Troy now. So I felt like everything happened for a reason. So I felt like,
yeah. How is that, man? How's Coach Walters? I haven't heard from him in a minute. You know, it's cool to see him that he came back up.
Oh yeah, he's still, you know, he's still the same Walters, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when it's time to get serious, he gets serious. He's a great coach, you know what I'm saying? You know how he come about his day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any fun Troy Walters behind the scenes stories, whether over in Cincinnati or back at Nebraska when you guys were all together?
I'll tell one to start. This man would wear like old school like 80s headphones that like wrap around his head.
Troy, he's just an old soul, man. I mean, Troy, like, it's really funny because every day for lunch, Troy, he skips the line. He leaves walkthrough pretty early and fast. He go get food and bring him back to his kids and wife. And we think that's just funny, but he's just a good person. It's never a dull moment with him.
Awesome. And I bet you're having fun with him now, just going to the Super Bowl with Cincinnati there, Stanley. Oh, yeah. And before we go to the NFL, I kind of want to talk about that 2018 year a little more, because you mentioned it a little well. The record didn't really indicate what that team was about. And I mean, I look back at it now from a fan perspective. I'm like, how the hell did that team get only 3 wins?
I think we had 4. You can't.
Was it 4?
Maybe 5 even. I think it might have been 5. You can't cheat us now.
What, 2018?
I really don't know, man. It's just sometimes when things just don't go your way, they're just not going your way. I mean, looking forward into the NFL, I mean, I come into my rookie year, we didn't win, what, one game? One game, and then we turn around and, you know, go to the Super Bowl. It's just time to gel and build with somebody. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It takes time to build a team like that to, you know, get a winning season. So it was so much spread out that I felt like we had a lot of guys coming in and a lot of guys going that would have gelled well together if they would have had different times on with them.
That 2018 season, 4-8 for you guys for Nebraska. That was the record. And I mean, so Stanley, I kind of guess we want to talk more about the NFL and take us through the draft process, because you went undrafted, and we talked with Luke Gifford about that process and the different teams that interested him. Can you kind of take us from your perspective? How did you go through that process of figuring out what team you wanted to go to?
Well, I just got the call probably the last day of the draft. You know, Coach Zach called me, and it was a no-brainer for me. I was like, yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, I'm going to say yeah. I'm not getting picked anyway, so it was kind of like a no-brainer for me. You know, he went to Nebraska. I was like, maybe a good little fit for me, and it turned out well.
That's crazy, though, to me, you know, because you had nothing but success mm-hmm. at Nebraska. Like, why do you think you went undrafted? I mean, I think it's bullshit. You know, I to this day, you know, I've been around a lot of dudes, and I feel like I know what it looks like. And, I mean, shoot, you got a contract extension, so they obviously feel like you're that dude who could play at that level. So what do you think contributed to that?
I really don't know, but it's probably just – I feel like going into my senior year, they probably want to see me more of a winning, you know what I'm saying? Just get more wins with my belt, maybe.
I
biggest thing, probably.
Yeah, which is tough. You know, I feel like that's definitely, you know, guys who aren't on winning teams get underlooked for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and I felt like that still didn't, you know what I'm saying? I felt like I still should have got drafted for sure. But, I mean, it worked out for me, you know what I'm saying?
It did, yeah.
More hungrier, bro. I just working extra.
Yeah. Yeah, I do know.
But so yeah, Stanley, you mentioned it right there. Going into your first like rookie camp after being signed with the Bengals, did you have a little chip on your shoulder being like, hey, I went undrafted, but I know I'm good enough? Was there kind of that little mentality there?
Oh, yeah. I got a chip on my shoulder every day I walk out of my house. You know what I'm saying? It's the way I was brought up, though. You know, I'm from New Orleans, so it's hard to make it out of here. So, you know, I always keep that chip on my shoulder. It's not a bad thing to have.
No. And you head into your now, kind of take us through that rookie camp. Luke told us a little bit as well, but I want to hear from your perspective of, he told us there are some funny stories that they make the rookies do. What was your rookie experience, Stanley?
My rookie experience wasn't that bad. I mean, I had a good receiver group ahead of me. You know, AJ was still there, and AJ pretty laid back. You know, had Tyler Boyd and all those guys. But I think we do like a singing thing. So I had to sing probably something like that, but not too many embarrassing stories, you know.
That's good something to hear.
Slight. Right, something slight. I was just something slight.
Now, which song did you have to sing?
I forget what song it was. Probably was like an Usher song or something like that. Something embarrassing.
How'd I know you were gonna say Usher? I was gonna say right. Something. My microphone cut out before I could say something.
I won't ask you to sing anything here, but. But I will ask too is about let's explore a little bit about your time at Cincinnati after rookie year and whatnot. How did you get accustomed to the city? Because Cincinnati, I've heard, is not for everybody. So, I mean, how did you get accumulated to that?
I stay 5 minutes from the stadium, so I didn't really have to go out too much and do anything. And you work, you know what I'm saying? We in the stadium from like 6 to, I want to say 6. You really don't have no time to get out and see too much during the season, you know. But in the off season and being there for 3 years, you know what I'm saying? It comes around. It gets better. But I like it. It's pretty nice place. It's really, really nice.
Mm. Any hint secrets about Cincinnati that the people outside wouldn't know?
Got a lot of hills, and I didn't know that.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yes, it's like going to Cincinnati, once you get into the city, it's like you go like down a lot of hills, because that's
kind of like a valley-ish?
Like a little bowl or something like that.
Hmm.
Right across the bridge is Kentucky, so like Kentucky is like 2 minutes away from Cincinnati. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious your experience with AJ Green, because he's a vet, and there was a stretch there where he was one of the best receivers in the game. What are some of the things he was able to teach you?
Man, just everything, bro. Like just his presence, bro. With a guy like that, when he speaks, he didn't, you know, he was laid back. He really didn't talk too much to us, but when he did, you listen. You know what I'm saying? You pay attention. You know, just about running routes, you know, slant routes, the little things. I mean, just seeing him at practice, you know what I'm saying? Just talking it up with him. And just, it's crazy because I'm young, you know what I'm saying? So I used to watch this guy before I went to, you know, any game. You know, I used to watch his highlights before anything. So it's crazy to be in the same room with him. And he's talking to me like, you know what I'm saying, you're a normal cat. You know? So that was the best thing, I would say.
Let's say,
that's dope.
Did he help you with anything in terms of like being a professional, I guess? Because some guys, obviously, in college, you're balancing school along with football. Now you're in the NFL, it's just football, and obviously you have family as well. But how was there anyone that really was a mentor for you in terms of handling the professional side of the game?
I would have to say it'll probably be mostly my special teams guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I play mostly special teams in the league. And that's how I made my name for myself. And throughout the years, I get more and more reps on receivers. So it had to be a lot of my gunners, you know what I'm saying? Alex Erickson, and just doing what I'm supposed to do, you know, just helping me out that way. You know what I'm saying? Not too much talking in the league, you know what I'm saying? You just got to go about your day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Once you make it to that point, you know what I'm saying? You kind of know what it is. And
it's a job. I mean, shoot.
You know what I'm saying? We giggle around and have fun in the locker room, but when it's time to go to work, we at work. Yes, sir. Yeah,
without a doubt. How's playing with Joe Burrow and playing with, you know, NFL type quarterbacks? I'm kind of curious from my perspective, what some of the differences are and like what steps they take to get to the next level.
It's being there, bro. That's what I was every day, being that same guy. No matter in the ups and downs, you know what I'm saying? No matter what, you know what I'm saying? You got to be that same leader every day. And he brings, I can see it when he walked in the room, you know, he was kind of like you know what I'm saying? Quarterbacks, they walk with their head held high, you know what I'm saying? It's a difference when you see a quarterback, you know, they there to lead the team. And so when you see that in the quarterback, you know, he got it. I say that's really what it is with him. When he's coming to lock, he's locked in. Everybody can see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
And does he embrace that kind of lead by example? Because he's not very talkative, is he?
Nah, he don't really talk too much. He just sitting, you know. And when he's talking, though, he's ready, but he don't really talk. It's all about just getting guys going. You know what I'm saying? Almost like a coach on the field. You know, just making sure we know what we have to do. You know what I'm saying? Just coaching us out every day. You know what I'm saying? Even if he see you in a lunchroom, you know, he might tell you about a route you ran kind of wrong, and he wants you to fix it. You know what I'm saying? He's that type of guy.
Any funny Joey B stories behind the scenes that no one knows?
I don't know. I'm not saying that.
I respect that. I respect that.
And Stanley, obviously you mentioned that obviously you made your mark doing special teams. After, was that kind of adjustment going from star receiver at Nebraska to special teams on Cincinnati, again, accustomed to your role while then trying to carve a piece out of the wide receiver room later on?
Oh yeah, man, that was, I'm still learning. You know what I'm saying? Like as a special team guy, you and playing receiver my whole life, I had to learn how to tackle. So
yeah,
Man, and I'll tell you right now, I learned how to tackle when I make tackles in the game. So every time I make a tackle, I'm getting better and better at it and just making myself get in different positions, you know. And the game is slowed down for me a little bit going into my my fourth year now. So it's pretty easy. You know, I can think it through when I'm making tackles and things. But that was the biggest thing, just learning how to tackle, man.
Yeah, that's what transitioned you into getting that contract extension. How pumped about that are you, man? I mean, I couldn't be more excited for you.
Yeah, man, hard work pays off, and I'm very excited about that, man. And, you know, it's just God just blessing me. You know, I'm just blessed to be giving a blessing back to him on the field, you know, just making myself work even harder, bro. You know how I am. I'm about that contract, man. It's, you know, I can take care of my family a little bit, you know?
Yeah, you deserve it. Really do.
Thank you, brother.
Now, I'm curious about this, Stanley, is that I heard about this thing called Cincinnati chili. Mm. And it's chili with basically in spaghetti.
Yeah.
Now, how big of a thing is that?
It's big in Cincinnati, but it has chocolate in it, I believe, and I don't eat chocolate, bro. Oh. I never had chocolate a day in my life, and I never had the chili a day in my life either.
You don't need it. Yeah. Overrated.
Yeah. You better not tell that to a Cincinnati person. They'll kill you.
You remember Matt Sichterman. I don't know if you remember who that is, O lineman, but he's from Cincinnati. And I think, I don't know who we were playing. I think we might've been playing Ohio State or someone like that. And I'll never forget. We didn't like whatever was ordered in, like catered in. And he got some like Cincinnati chili something. And Dave was like, what the fuck is that? Like, he's like, it's Skyline chili, something like that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might say that.
Amen. So you're saying that of all the years in Nebraska, you never tried chili and cinnamon rolls?
No.
Never. I didn't either.
Unbelievable.
No, I probably never will. Never will.
Yeah. It's not as bad as you guys think. It actually goes decently well together.
I used to be a water hole.
Okay, yeah. Water hole was all right. It was all right.
I like it a lot.
Awesome. Well, Stanley, going on, let's talk about the Super Bowl a little bit. That obviously is very cool to be a part of. And actually, let's just talk about the playoff journey altogether. Get by the wild card round and just continue on to the Super Bowl. I mean, what's it like just being part of a Super Bowl run like that? I mean, just all the pandemonium around it and just going all through those playoff games.
I will say it's one of the best moments of my life. Maybe the best moment of my life, getting to the Super Bowl and planning it. It was surreal, bro. It's just amazing, bro. Just seeing all the fans, seeing every superstar you can think of and just being out there and playing. I felt like I was floating on a cloud, bro, just a blast. I didn't get tired, man. It was good on good. Everybody was out there competing. It was the best feeling in the world, bro, to be honest. I will say that. I'm still living in it, bro.
Hey, y'all got the team, man. It's not going to be easy, but you got the pieces.
For sure. It takes a lot of hard work. I will say that. It's a long season. It takes a lot of hard work, but it's worth it. It's worth it, man. It's worth it.
Take us through that Super Bowl week. If you can remember day by day, that'd be awesome. I mean, just kind of take us through that experience.
So you get there, you fly in, I want to say we flew in like a week before because we had to practice. Get there, you get to the hotel. You can't leave nowhere without your lanyard. You know what I'm saying? You gotta keep that on. You got a little curfew and everything. But just being around that, we stayed at UCLA campus. It was amazing. Got to use their facility. Their facility is dope. I mean, really dope. You get to practice in sunny weather, nice cloud. I mean, nice mountains and everything. It was great. Just being out there, all the publicity and everything. You had a lot of camp. It's like being a superstar.
How often you been out to LA?
I used to go out there a lot when I was training because I stayed in Thousand Oaks Way, Calabasas, when I trained for the combine.
So yeah, you've been out there, and SoFi just looks so cool.
Oh yeah, man. I was out there in the valley too, man. It's nice out there. It's beautiful, beautiful.
Any fun Super Bowl stories?
Fun school bus stories.
PG stories, you know.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not one of those. I mean, seeing The Rock, bro, because I'm The Rock fan, I ain't going to lie. So I got to saw The Rock.
How big is he? Is he, like, really that big?
That's what blew my mind. He's really big, bro. Like, he was bigger than most of the people on the field with they pads on, bro.
I kind of forgot he did the opening. He was like, WWE type style. You know what I mean?
Sure. I was like, but I get to see him, so that was pretty cool. I wish I could have saw Shaq because I love Shaq too.
Did you see like Eminem, Snoop Dogg, all those dudes who did the halftime show?
I will say, I'm gonna tell you a funny story right now. So we in the back, we can't hear none of this. We can hear it, but we didn't see none of the halftime show. But only one. It was my boy Money Mac.
Yeah, the kicker. He kind of caught some flack for that.
What he kicked?
He does his job. That's all that matters.
I thought that was really funny because I didn't see it until after the game. I'm like, bro. I said, bro, did you watch the Super Bowl halftime show? Like, yeah. That's funny as shit.
Yeah, I met that guy. We went to the All American game together. So we used to play a lot of ping pong. Good dude, and I mean. Oh, yeah. Ice cold too.
Good dude. He's pretty chill. He just walks around, just be about his day. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Different kickers are a different breed.
Yeah, for sure.
But say, yeah, they must be. I mean, you had Evan McPherson on your team, Stanley. I mean, how much of a different breed was he?
You see
it. He's good though. Yeah, he's a stud. I got some questions for you, Stan. Who was the toughest player or the best player you played against in college and then in the NFL?
In college, I would have to say Lattimore. He was pretty patient. He was pretty smart. I was young when I played school and went out to Ohio State. It was a big game. But he was pretty good. He was really, really good, really patient. You know, I think he was really good. And in the NFL, what would I say in the NFL? I say Jalen, one of my rookie years when we played them in L.A., you know, he's pretty strong. Yeah. Long arms. I didn't know that about him.
Yeah, yeah. Is it, you could tell the difference, like those dudes, is it their technique? It's just on a different level?
It's just on a different level. You know, everybody's the best of their college playing.
Yeah.
Like, every rep is, you know, you can't take no rep off, you know. So that's probably the biggest thing. Just, you can't take no rep off, and you always got to be ready. And it's just, you got to use this, too. You got to be really smart. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, saving obviously NFL, college, different game. Is there some metaphor you can use in terms of the difference in difficulty from college to NFL?
Everybody is hitting very hard.
I see that on TV. Like, you can hear it. I'm like, damn. Yeah.
I will say that. So you gotta just tap into your grown man strength every game. You gotta be a different breed out there because – is it get hit or be hit? You know, you gotta get back up. You know, so I will say that's the biggest thing. Fast, real fast, but it slows down just like college. You know, every step has its, you know, fast point, then it slows back down for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's say, how fast was it when you first began playing rookie year?
Oh, really fast. You know what I'm saying? It's really fast. You gotta think. You know what I'm saying, on the money. So that's when practicing everything becomes, you know, really, really special to you. Saying you got to work your craft at practice. You don't really have too many practices out the week. You know, you're in NFL week to week, 17 weeks now. I mean, 18 weeks now. So that's a tough job.
How's that? The practice schedule is a little bit different now, too, right? You guys, do you guys ever have full padded practice?
No. Only in the training camp a lot. And Thursday. Thursdays is our full pad day. We got full pads on Thursday, so it's pretty chill. But you're doing your same running though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's it like being around those guys on your roster? I mean, you got Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase. I mean, you got dudes on that team that are legit.
And all these guys work. That's the best part about being around these guys. You know, they don't they're not there just, you know, missing practice or just being a superstar or anything like that. These guys put in the work just like everybody else. You know, I will say that about these guys. These guys are really talented athletes that put in the work every day, and it's really good to see. You know, is almost like you can't lack off around these guys. You know what I'm saying? You got great guys around. It's a great locker room. You know what I'm saying? Great environment. You know, we poke fun all the time, have a good time. But when we go to work, we go to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of the best teams I've ever been on, man. I will say that.
And, I mean, not only with one of the best teams, also played against a lot of the big team, best teams. Rams, obviously, Chiefs in the AFC title game. I'm a little more curious about the Chiefs and just playing against them as a whole. I mean, just watching them field side. I mean, are they different, especially with the offense and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, you got to play these guys to the end, as you can see. I mean, these guys have weapons all around the field. You know, it's one of those teams you can't lack off. You don't know what to expect from this team. You know what I'm saying? They'll probably throw a trick play in or anything like that. These guys, I will say the Chiefs, they got a great team.
Yeah, and I mean, then you're in Arrowhead, in the cold. I mean, how was that atmosphere?
Oh, it was great. It wasn't even that cold that day either. It was great. to win and to celebrate on their field, I mean, that was a great. And then the plane ride home was amazing, too. I mean, everybody had a great time. You know, just to know we're going to the Super Bowl the next couple of weeks was surreal, man. I mean,
we played in some damn cold games at Nebraska. You know about that.
Cold as hell.
You say the Michigan State game?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we won 9-6. That's probably one of my favorite games.
Mine, too.
It was brutal.
Yes, it was a great game, bro. And then it was on my senior night, so I had a blast.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had fortunately left the stadium and watched the rest of the game while ordered pizza and stayed indoors.
That's weak. I didn't know that.
Now, Stanley, too, I'm curious about now being able to play all these other teams in the NFL. Which was the most intimidating stadium atmosphere for a game you've ever been a part of in the NFL?
Before you even answer that, I want to know, do you think because I've heard, like, I think Peyton Manning said this, but in the NFL, like, the crowds don't get as loud in college.
Like college, no. But it does get loud different places. Like, I would say Baltimore is pretty loud. Cleveland is pretty loud. Oh, Pittsburgh's pretty loud, too. But, you know, when you lock, you know, you can't really – it fuels you more than anything else. You know, you just kind of use it to your advantage. You know, you don't have too many bands out there playing music and nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah.
People say the fans do say a lot of mean things, though.
Yeah, because you're a professional now. There's no, like, people feeling bad, like, their kids, no.
it's free game. It's terrible what they say sometimes. Yeah, we'll say that.
Do guys say anything back ever, or is it just like you just got to block it out?
You got to block it out, but they can say some stuff. It might make you turn around one time.
Yeah. Did you see Kyrie Irving last night?
No, I didn't.
He was flipping off, like, people in the crowd while playing the game at Boston.
Yeah. I probably can feel what he's going through, because they'd be saying harsh things.
And I mean, I'd be also curious too about this, Stanley, is what's the best non teammate interaction you've had with someone else?
I'm not sure, bro. I'm not sure.
Like running into dudes you knew from Louisiana, or maybe even former Husker teammates. Have you done any jersey exchanges? I'm sure after the games.
Yeah, I've done with I would say Leonard Fournette before. That's my good friend. I did it with Nick. Seaton, of course.
Yeah.
Let me think about that, because I run into a lot of people. I will say this. I just ran into my high school quarterback not too long ago. I really respect this guy. I really love this guy. Great guy, you know what I'm saying? So I will say that. That was probably – and it was good to see him, too, because I haven't seen him in a long time, and that's when I kind of got my love for the football, you know what I'm saying, love for football, and it was with him, so. I would say that was a good moment for me right there. You know, we got to chop it up a little bit. So I would say that.
Yeah.
It's good to see a lot of old guys, you know what I'm saying, where you started from, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt. Perspective gives you good perspective on where you're at now. Because, I mean, shoot, you've accomplished a lot already. I know you got more on the docket, but you've done a lot. You know, you're making former teammates proud. You know, I always say it, always will, but stay in the man. Guy had it. Guy had it from the jump.
All right, man. I appreciate that, my dog. Yes, sir.
I guess, Stanley, to finish it off, do you think, looking back when you first started playing football, do you ever imagine you'd be in the spot you would be right now?
You never really do, man. You just be working so hard, you don't really want to look into the future, you know? So I always had that I would do something special, but you know what I'm saying? Just keep working and knowing that I'm pushing for something great. I mean, that's what I do all the time. I don't really look down the line too much. I just live in the present, you know what I'm saying? Just being me and just living in the moment, man, and just got to live it out.
Well, we're going to be cheering for you when put on the Bengals jersey here this upcoming season, Stanley.
Better.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, appreciate you, Stan. Thanks for hopping on.
All righty, man. Adrian, appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, got you.
All right, now, y'all have a good time.
Thank you so much, Stanley, for joining us on this episode of Athletes Unfiltered. That was Stanley Morgan, former Nebraska wide receiver and current Cincinnati Bengals. That's going to wrap things up on this edition of Athletes Unfiltered. Make sure to follow Stanley on Twitter at @TheKidStand, but also give us a follow as well at ATH Unfiltered on both Twitter and Instagram, as well as Adrian at @MartinezTheQB and myself at @XOnSports. And if you haven't caught up on Athletes Unfiltered, make sure to go check out all those episodes available wherever you can find your podcast. Remember, this isn't just another press conference. This is Athletes Unfiltered. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.